following takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Events occur.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to PC Radio Live. It's Friday. It's January 21st. And you know what, John? Actually, this is... Actually, I might have missed it. I should have probably looked at this yesterday. This is either the 21st birthday or the day after the 21st birthday of my first varsity hockey start as a freshman. Actually, it was the day George W. Bush got inaugurated, so it's a very easy day to remember, assuming I can remember what day it was. I know it was the 20th or the 21st. I'd have to go back and check. But 21 years ago, my memory's a little foggy, but it's a cool memory. I won 7-1.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nice. The inverse of Tuukka Rask scored the other night.
Hey, you know what? That was a tough one for a team that's playing pretty good hockey right now. I did let up a goal 11 seconds into the game, though. That was a little... for all the nerves I had, that didn't help, but I settled down pretty quickly. I think we were playing Braintree, so they weren't too good, to be honest with you. That's probably why I got the start, because they were one of the, what you would consider a extra bye week in football terms. Because, being from Framingham, we played a Division I schedule. We played a lot of the Catholic schools in and around Boston Catholic Memorial, Boston College High. Very good teams. Very, 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 very good teams. And I did not play one of those teams, actually. I just played one of the lesser teams, one of the bottom feeders, as they would call them. But nonetheless, it was 21 years ago to the day or the day after. Like I said, I should have been looking that up while we were talking, but I'm going to do that right now. Because, like I said, it's a pretty easy thing to look up.
Yeah, because obviously the president gets inaugurated on the 20th, so that would be that day. And also, were you like 14 or 15 at the time? So you were getting, was that a varsity start?
I was.
As a freshman or a sophomore?
That's pretty good. It was a freshman, so 2001, I was 14, because I didn't turn 15 until October, because I was kind of young. So yeah, I was a young kid. I started a majority of the JV games, actually 16 of them, because I only let up 16 goals all season, John. I know, Pat. You know, give me a round of applause, pat myself on the back.
Now you sound like Aaron Rodgers, pumping up your own tires.
I had to do whatever I could. I was fighting, youth hockey, youth sports, even high school sports, it's very political. There's a lot of things, obstacles that I had to overcome. I was very much like Brady at Michigan, to be honest with you. Actually, that's why I think a lot of my admiration for what he went through, that's why I appreciate it. But
Rodgers had to go to Butte Junior College, right? I mean, he really went the circuitous route to stardom, right? Butte Junior College.
I would say this in terms of my high school career arc, I was constantly overlooked by other players on the roster, not by the players, but by the coaches. And there are reasons for that. And a lot of them, it didn't have to do with play or effort, a la very much like Brady. I had my own Drew Henson and my own, situations like that, my own Brian Greasy, because I came on and I was behind a couple of juniors, as a freshman. So, you got to pay your dues. And that's what I did. And, that freshman year, that was great. I was nervous. Like I said, 11 seconds into the game, you let up a goal, and that kind of, you either settle down or you just go off the rails. Luckily, I settled down. But most importantly, that JV season, first four games, I didn't allow a single goal. So,
That's outstanding.
Yeah, I know. But I definitely peaked. Let's just put it that way. I peaked. That's when
I know
that
the feeling.
That was my peak. So. Here I am, sounding like Al Bundy, reliving my glory days of high school sports. But hey, that's why I am. Unfortunately, things did not work out. I played a little junior hockey. Maybe a couple decisions here and there could have changed my path. But like I said, I still have time to make it to the pros and get myself a Disney movie made about myself for being some old fart.
I like it.
Yeah. some guy.
Well, remember, was it a couple years? Was it a couple years ago the Zamboni driver had to come in?
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
Play net, like, and they won, right? They
yeah,
won
it was the like 760 some odd days ago. The right. Twitter account that also tracks the number of days since the Toronto Maple Leafs last won a Stanley Cup also tracks that. So that's why I roughly know what number it's at because I saw it recently. So, yeah, you know, hey, you never know. You never know. Like I said, I mean, I just got to get myself in a little bit better shape, you know, you could stretch out a little bit and, you know, dust off the pads and see if I can still stop a puck, even though it's been quite some time. But no, you know, those were fun days, of course. And back then, that was that was right before. This is how long ago it was, John. This is how long ago. That was before Brady took a single start in the NFL. It was mm-hmm. right before it. Yep. It was right before that season. The Patriots season was already over at that point, the 2000 year. They went 5-11. So, yeah. So it was fun and happy 21st birthday. My first start as a freshman can now drink. Pretty excited about that. So
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, never know. You never know. So, yeah, it is Friday. So that means tomorrow, like I said, is the beginning of the end for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And I'm going to speak it into existence, John. And you're going to have to deal with it for the next 35 minutes while we do this show because nothing would make me happier. And I'm sorry, Packers fans. And you're just going to have to accept it. Nothing would make me happier than to watch him go one and done in these playoffs. It would bring so much joy. You might have to go into hiding if that were the case, because I'm just saying, like, I'm going to be absolutely insufferable.
Well, you already are. So, you know,
exactly.
Par for the course. So, like, what's the difference? But as a Brady Easter, wouldn't you rather see Rodgers win, Brady win, and then they face off in the NFC championship game?
I've seen that story, okay. And I saw how it came out. You know,
well,
results, and
it's a rematch. I mean, what's wrong with a rematch?
Eh.
There's nothing wrong with a rematch, and then maybe next year they do it again, and it's, you know, the rubber match. I'd be up for that.
No, yeah. See, I'm almost hyping myself up to see Tom Brady versus Jimmy Garoppolo.
Now, that would be interesting, too. Would be very interesting.
I kind of kid about, you know, the intrigue of that, obviously. That matchup, that quarterback matchup is very, very, you know, uneven, but there is a lot of actual intrigue to that matchup, and ultimately it could kind of be a worse matchup for the Buccaneers, depending on how good that defense is, especially that front seven. I don't know. Like, yeah, I would love to see Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady again, but, you know, at the end of the day, at least I've seen it. I've already seen it. You know what I mean? We're not going to get it in a Super Bowl. That dream is over with. So we've already seen it at the highest possible level. So if we get it again or not, it doesn't matter to me. Brady won the first one, so nothing really matters.
I want the rematch.
Well, yeah, you do. Of course you do. Leroy Butler actually saw this last night. I was so tired, I didn't even bother. I didn't even bother responding. And again, it's a little bit of Packer fandom, obviously, you know. But, you know, he made a comment yesterday in an interview, or at least I saw a video of a comment he made, and said, if Aaron Rodgers beats the Buccaneers and goes on to win the Super Bowl, he'd be the GOAT. And I'm like, oh, good God, dude, come on. Like, I want you to get into Hall of Fame, Leroy, but let's pump the brakes. And so, unfortunately, John, I think there's some group of people out there that actually believe that, and I'm kind of disappointed. I know it's not you. You're not that crazy yet, John. Not that crazy.
Not yet. No, I mean, obviously, if he beats Brady in the NFC Championship game and then wins the Super Bowl, then you make the case he's the best quarterback in football, right? Because he'd have back-to-back MVPs, three straight NFC Championship games, and a Super Bowl. I mean, that's a pretty good resume for 3 years.
Though Brady's resume is still better though over the recent history. So
it starts to move forward. And look, I'm never betting against Tom Brady, or at least if I'm betting against him, I'm, you know, questioning why I'm doing it. So I'm not really concerned about that. But no, I mean, it's just I would think in theory that he's going to play longer than Brady. But then again, I thought Andrew Luck would too, and he's been gone for 3 years. You have to kind of be in the moment at this point. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. I've said this a few times, anybody's disputing who the greatest quarterback of all time is, is insane. So, like, anybody that throws that out there is just trolling at this point. Not been afraid to criticize Rodgers and the Packers. I know he does talk radio in Milwaukee, so...
obviously, the making the statement that, you know, if the game materializes, and if, you know, Aaron Rodgers wins, and then if he goes on to win the Super Bowl, it's even if all that happens, it's an absurd statement. And like I said, I just kind of laughed it off because I'm like, all right, there's a little bit of Packer fandom. But going to the best quarterback currently in the league, and I said this last year, so this isn't just me kind of jumping around. Like, you know, I told you I agree that Aaron Rodgers deserved to win the MVP last year, but I didn't necessarily believe that makes him the best quarterback in the league. I don't think it's that fluid. You know, you say that the back-to-back, you know, would certainly help his case, but especially the way this award seems to be heading, or the direction that this whole thing seems to be heading, that's not going to be enough for me, because, like, I the way I feel is, like, in order for someone to overtake Brady as the best quarterback in the league currently, it has more to do with Brady and his skills diminishing than what anyone else does. And people can't grasp that necessarily, because, like, no one in their right mind sat there and said, well, Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in the league after winning MVP. He had a great season and absolutely deserved the MVP. The two things can be true at the same time. So that's the same concept or same way we should look at that. Because, look, John, the reality of it is the MVP award decided by 50 people. So of all the people who watch football, of all the people that play football, and all the people that do all these things, 50 people will theoretically tell you what's happening, i.e. who's the best quarterback in the league. That's why I don't necessarily believe the MVP.
But did you have a problem with this process when he won 3 MVPs? I mean, this is what I'm saying. It's like all of a sudden, because Rodgers is going to win an MVP it's all of a sudden the whole...
Did I ever
believe the Electoral College exists?
Well, did I ever praise the process? No. I've never sat there and said, this is the best way. We've actually had plenty of discussion, so I don't think I'm doing anything more insignificant. I'm just saying that, like, I think this... I'm not blaming the process this year. I just think they got through the... I just think they got it wrong. Like, if Aaron Rodgers ultimately becomes the MVP, like, it's not me sitting there back and saying, you know what, hats off to him, he is definitely now the best quarterback. No, because, like, I very firmly believe that Tom Brady had a better season. So I'm not going to sit there and say, well, these 50 voters decided that my opinion is wrong, so I'm just going to go with them. That's my point. Like,
let me bring up another sport, though. Like, and we're going to agree on this. Giannis won back-to-back MVPs. I still thought LeBron was the best player in the world. Right?
Exactly.
So that's kind of where we're at. Yeah, it's recency. It's also fatigue, although, you know, Brady should have more MVPs than just 3, should LeBron have more than 4. So, I mean, I think at that point, and at this point, I don't, to compare it even like that, I don't think LeBron's skills have really diminished, but I do think that Giannis is the best player in the world right now because of what he can give you on the defensive end. So, you know,
it's a little bit different, but in that sense, and I think certainly at LeBron's age, and obviously the football, obviously, we know is a very physical sport, very demanding, very whatnot. I mean, quarterbacks obviously get the most protection and everything like that. Basketball can have a massive impact on your knees, and obviously the pounding every single day or whatever it is, the length of time, all the games, and then you add in all the playoffs and all that stuff, the additional games and stuff like that. LeBron's body is going to slow down a little bit sooner than Brady. Obviously, the advantages of playing quarterback in the NFL. I mean, I think this is kind of like the ceiling and floor argument when you talk about player skills. Like, the potential for a devastating injury or very a life-altering injury in football is probably a lot higher. But at the quarterback position, I think the floor, or I guess the injury-free potential, is a lot better over time. Because, like, again, your body's just going to wear down naturally, and the amount of basketball LeBron's played, he's going to do that. So to that point, Giannis is doing things that it's not happening as much for him. Whereas in this case, there's not a single thing that Aaron Rodgers does that Tom Brady can't. So I think Tom Brady is still that guy in that situation, even at his age, even if he doesn't win this MVP. Because again, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you know, I've believed this the entire season, but these 50 people voting changed my mind. No, that's not how I think. You know, I'm stubborn, but I also like to think that I'm pretty reasonable and will take into account the big picture. And that's what I try to do.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Look, we've talked about it a million times. The only two people that I think really should be considered for league MVP are the two quarterbacks. I mean, Joe Burrow, I thought, would probably finish third. But again, you need only the, they only have the first place votes, which I think is that to me is more flawed than anything. It's like, pick one guy. And it's like, it'll come out that Rodgers wins it 32-18, and it looks like a landslide, but they're very, very close. Let me put it this way. Tampa's got all sorts of injuries. They're going up against a team that looks hot and is probably a tough matchup for them. But we still think Tampa Bay can win the game. Many are picking them to win the game because of what? Because of him. Mm-hmm. That is the only reason. If you look at the two rosters now, especially with all these injuries, it would make sense that the Rams are a better team. They've beaten them the last two times they've played them, even with Brady. But number 12 is out there. Mm-hmm. That he's the equalizer. So, no, I mean, no one's surpassing him as the greatest of all time. I'll be dead before anybody even approaches him. And I don't, you know, my 6-year-old grandniece might be dead before anybody approaches him, and I hope she lives till she's 85. So, yeah, I mean, no, he's lapped the field. So if any of those conversations to me are just silly, and they're just looking to get reaction.
Well, it's like I said yesterday, it's the same thing every year. It's no, like, I'm never, or commentator A, it's like, I'm never gonna say this again about Brady. And then a couple months later, well, you know, this is the year, blah blah blah, this, that, and the other. Oh, well, Aaron Rodgers, if he does this. And it's like, well, you never bet against Brady, but this year I'm going to. It's the same cycle every year. And look, the reason we navigate it so well is because we see it every single year. It's like, okay, you know, that's the thing. You can go ahead and do your thing, and you go up and be Stephen A. Smith, who said, like, you know, remember a few years ago, it's like, I'm never going to call Aaron Rodgers a bad man again. And then it's like, of course he's going to change his mind. I mean, again, it's part of the job. I get it. You know, it's
part of the job. Yeah.
Yeah, you're up there every single day reacting to things. There's so many things I'm sure I've said that are pretty hypocritical, although don't go.
Yeah, we're not hosting Meet the Press where we have two senators on to discuss an issue that's, you know, up for debate. I mean, this is what we do. We say things, take a point of view, and hammer it home.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
There also has to come a point where you kind of say, well, you know, like me, I'm a Rodgers guy, obviously. He's my favorite player. But to say that he's accomplished what Brady's accomplished is just silly. I mean,
I avoid many of those all-time conversations. I think the more interesting conversation is obviously the current. Because even if you think about it this way, like, I mean, we talked about it earlier in the season. I think it might be a good discussion. And you know, I can see the side for either. I think I maybe in the moment reacted a little bit one way. But, you know, you look at how good Brady is now and how what his, say, 07 peak was. And I think going back, and I've gone back, and I'm like, man, 07 Brady was just absolutely phenomenal. So,
yeah,
I think we're sitting here and seeing, you know, Aaron Rodgers at close to his best. Obviously, his best season came in 2011, but he's played great football over the last couple of years. And even the most objectionable or reasonable or even semi-biased person will admit that there's not a big difference between the two. And obviously, they probably side for Rodgers, but I would say, obviously, Brady is the better of the two. And I'm thinking, like, man, at Rodgers' near peak, at best, he is a smidge better than Brady. Obviously, I don't believe that, but that's kind of what people are arguing. And it's kind of being lost amongst this whole conversation because it's like, yeah, that's kind of absurd to think about it. Even think about this. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, as great as he has been, at best, and again, this is not what I agree, you can argue that he is a smidge better than Tom Brady, and, you know, you're talking about...
And that was the 2018 season, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
that's his greatest season. I mean, he may never equal that again, but let me even go back. I mean, we can go back to 2007 when Brady was the best quarterback in football by far, won the MVP. That's his greatest season, obviously. he was right there with Peyton Manning, who, by the way, was going to win his third and fourth MVPs in the next 2 years. So he's been the best quarterback in football for 15, 16 years. And when he wasn't considered the best quarterback in football, he was the second best quarterback. I mean, that's incredible.
Well,
all decade team of the 2000s and all decade team of the 2010s. Like that's not heard of in that sport. You know, it's usually one decade where you're the best at your position, not two decades.
There's only at one point in his career, there's only been one player that's been neck and neck with him at any point. And I'm talking about Peyton Manning early in his career.
Right.
And, you know, and even then Brady still had it was tougher back then because obviously Brady had the Super Bowls and Peyton Manning got off to such a great statistical start. But, eventually Brady started to close that gap, or at least, it became more evident that, he's not just a guy. People have labeled him this game manager, and it just sort of stuck when in reality, like you said, I mean, he was kind of just right on Peyton's heels statistically, and then it kind of blew up. So like at that point, you could trade off the title of best quarterback in the league because I think they both had very comparable pre-snap abilities. And I think they're two of the best ever to like, as much as I hated Peyton Manning, and we see it on TV every, I mean, he is an incredibly smart guy when it comes to football. And
incredible.
I don't think anyone has ever matched Brady on that level except for him, at least as far as his contemporaries go.
Yeah.
And
I think sometimes it hurt Peyton Manning. He's so damn smart that I think, like Rodgers, I think they kind of overanalyze things at some point, whereas Brady, who's smarter than everyone, has the capacity to almost like zone out all the extra stuff and just kind of focus.
He just compartmentalize.
In.
You know, he's better at
he
at
does
clearing
that better
out
than
the
anybody.
Noise.
Yeah. Brady would have been a great pilot. I mean, he may have a little kamikaze in him, but I think he would land the plane safely, in the Hudson, kind of like Sully Sullenberger, because he would just focus in. That's what you kind of want, right? If I got on a plane and I saw Brett Favre as my pilot, I'd say, might be time to change flights here.
I was going to say, you might want to, ask him for a breathalyzer first, too. So.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. So like, during, especially post 07, like those subsequent years, probably up to, even up to about 2014, 2015, I think Brady and Manning basically traded off. They were 1A, 1B and pick who you want. I think it changed. I think, it was kind of just like, one would be 1A at one point, one would be 1B.
Yep.
But I see, and that's where I think Rodgers says, because by the time Rodgers started, and he had that great season in 2011 and all that, by that point, it wasn't enough to elevate him over those two. And had those two not had great seasons at the same time that Rodgers did, maybe you elevate Rodgers then, but it never happened. So, and then by the time 2014, 2015 rolls around, both of those guys had been to, back to back, between the two of them, they had been in the Super Bowl for four straight years. And then Manning retired. He had that down season, but he won his Super Bowl. And then from there, Tom has literally just absolutely dominated the league. So again, at no point, and this was something I brought up a couple years ago, I was like, okay, I asked the question, how has Tom Brady lost that title of best quarterback in the league currently? Because I think, again, you go to 2014, 2015, in those seasons where he won his fourth, and I think a lot of people would agree he became, quote-unquote, the GOAT. Well, that also implies that you're playing pretty darn good football to become the GOAT at that point. It's not a lifetime achievement award. So, and then again, throwing the MVP in 2017. So at that point, it's like, okay, who's playing better? Well, people are like, oh, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Now it's, it's Aaron Rodgers has never played the quarterback. No one's ever played the quarterback position better than Aaron Rodgers. No, that's not true. He's had a great couple seasons. That's not what I'm saying. But, this is Brady's title to lose. And until his skills diminish, I don't care what anyone else does, to be honest with you, because whatever they do is not good enough or not a big enough difference, let's put it that way. Because I assume Brady's obviously going to be right there in whatever they do. Like I said, go to Aaron Rodgers and his efficiency. Well, yeah, he may have been number one, but who's in most cases, number two. Well, it's Tom Brady. Well, guess what? A slight difference in QBR isn't going to, like I said, change my mind. But, well, you know what? That .3, got to give it to Rodgers. He's the best quarterback in the league.
That's if we want to do that, yeah, Kirk Cousins is the third best quarterback. Exactly. He's, I mean, and I know you tried to goat me, no pun intended, using the term goat, but a different goat when you said Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Kirk Cousins is an efficient quarterback that no one is frightened of. Rodgers is an efficient quarterback that everybody's frightened of. So there's that big difference there. No, I mean, like, these discussions are all, to me, silly, because if you go there, it's like, what have you watched the last 20 years? Like, sometimes just kind of look at the TV and see what you're seeing. And again, I think the Rams were a better team than Tampa Bay, especially with all these injuries. But Tampa Bay's favored in this game, and people still give them a real chance to win for one reason, and one reason only, and it's not the coaching staff. It's not Bruce Arians' acumen or, you know, whatever. It's Tom Brady's going to figure out some way to win.
He got fined $50,000 for that.
Yeah, and he's appealing it now. Yeah. That's which, like, you know. Now, how does that sell in the locker room? You hit the guy. Look, I think it was kind of overblown. He's an old guy who's got ice on his ankle.
Yeah. Did you see him trying to move? I think he was we've talked about one of the issues with the Buccaneers is, like, sometimes their discipline escapes them and they do things post whistle and stuff that get them in trouble. And I think that was something that Bruce saw and was like, all right, I got to stop this. Like, get away. I think he was just like, you know, whatever. I don't think it was that big of a deal. And
no,
as far as I know, Edwards has not said anything negative. And how does that work? Like, you go to appeal, like, if Edwards comes, it's like, I don't care. Like, I don't know.
Right.
Either way, whatever, you know, let him appeal it, let him whatever. But,
Bruce Arians could be going the way of Woody Hayes at this point. Right. I mean, cause he does look a little bit unhinged on the sideline. First of all, what the hell is that thing he's wearing? Like, I mean, is it a heart monitor? I know it has to do with technology.
Isn't that the that's a communication box. A lot of, you know, most coaches will wear it on their
Andy Reid wears it around, or Andy Reid wears it around his waist. So obviously it's going to have to be enormous to fit around Andy's waist. I used to love when Andy Reid just, you know, you've given up when you, like, just can't control your weight when you win the one piece.
Yeah.
Remember Andy Reid would be on the sideline in the one piece. I'm like, this guy's just completely given up. But yeah, I mean, Bruce Arians looks unhinged. Like, the scally cap and sunglasses sometimes.
I mean, he's had that look for a while. That's kind of missing.
Yeah.
Like I said, at the end of the day, I didn't really care. I think it was a big deal about,
no.
I mean, I know Antonio Brown made mention of it. And speaking of Antonio Brown, I think he posted something else with him, like Brady's arm over his shoulder. Talk about unhinged. I mean, I don't know what that guy is doing. Like, he's talking about, oh, I didn't mean this. Well, that's what you said. It's like, look, say what you mean and mean what you say. I mean, I say that all the time to people on Twitter because they'll say one thing. I'll call attention to it, and they're like, oh, I didn't mean that. Well, that's what you said. I mean, people got to get better at articulating their opinion better and communicating it better.
Including Mike McCarthy.
You know, yes. And Dak Prescott.
He needs to do that more than anyone.
Yeah,
and Dak Prescott and the rest of the Cowboys.
But anyway, so we got about 13 minutes left, and we've just been rambling on about nonsense. so we do got to get actually to picking these games because, hey, you know what? This is the last show that we're going to have before we know who's going to be participating in the AFC and NFC Championship game. So we're going to start first game of the day. Tomorrow is going to be Bengals, and it's going to be Titans. The Titans, obviously, the first seed, getting the bye week, getting a chance to rest some of their players, and very likely getting Derrick Henry back. So this is going to be fun. I don't think Cincinnati is ready yet. I mean, I could be wrong. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they're ready to take that next couple. Next year might be the year. We talk about Joe. Next year might be the year that Joe Burrow wins an MVP. Let's put it that way. I think this year, I think they've overachieved a little bit, and that's not a bad thing. I think that's going to do great things for them moving forward. I like Burrow in this game. I'm assuming Derrick Henry's going to be back, and I'm assuming it's the running back position. You don't need to get too much into a rhythm. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't a receiver and a quarterback trying to get back on the same page in live game action. No, this is a running back. You get the ball, you run. I think Derrick Henry, if he's healthy, is going to have a very huge impact in this game. And I don't know if Cincinnati can play disciplined enough football. And I don't necessarily mean staying, you know, penalty free, but I mean like just discipline on offense, discipline on defense. You know what I mean? Slowing the game down when it's necessary. I'm worried that it might be a little bit too much for them in this moment.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals remind me a little bit. I'm going to go on the way back machine here. The 91 Cowboys, remember they made the playoffs a year early. They beat the Bears, I believe, in a playoff game and then went to Detroit and got annihilated by the Lions in the divisional round, which sounds odd, the Lions winning a divisional round game or the Lions actually playing in a divisional round game. But it did happen. And then the next year they came back. The Cowboys ended up winning the Super Bowl, which was also considered a year early because they've got all this talent. But the problem is in this game, Ian, I think Tennessee will dominate both lines of scrimmage. They're better on the offensive line. They're better on the defensive line. And when you have those massive advantages there, I think that that's going to be a good advantage for Tennessee. And then you got Mike Vrabel, who I think is going to be coach of the year and is never frightened in these situations. I mean, Mike Vrabel's not going to hold back. And I think Tennessee wins this game. My prediction is 27-17 Titans. I mean, that bye week is helpful. Get these guys rested, and they should come out strong. And look, I think Cincinnati did enough this year by winning that first playoff game in over 30 years. So I like the Titans in this game.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take the Titans as well. I do think that the Bengals and Burrow put up a good fight, and I think this is going to be an entertaining game. But to everything you said, the coaching, the players, and I just got an alert that, you know, they're saying again, they expect Derrick Henry to be activated off the IR today, which obviously would indicate he would be playing tomorrow. I think Tennessee is going to be well-rested. I think they're the better team, and I think they're going to be better coached. And you don't even have to go as far back as the Cowboys. Just go back to the Seahawks, 2012. 7-9, overachieved,
exactly.
Made the playoffs, won a playoff game. Obviously didn't go too much further than that, but you kind of saw what this team was building, where they were at. Now, a little bit different because, you know, obviously you get a more defensive-centric team, whereas the Bengals are obviously a high-powered offensive-centric team, but same difference. You go, and the next year, you know, the Seahawks went out and won a Super Bowl, and they actually went to two Super Bowls. So we'll see what happens, but I do think the Titans win this one and ultimately will host the AFC Championship game. So, all right, game number two Saturday, John. This is it. This is what all the discussions, everything, all your eggs are in one basket right here. Okay, this is it. And it's going to be the same next week if they win. But the Packers hosting the 49ers. Now, obviously, the big storyline heading into the weekend is not necessarily the health of the Packers, but the health of the 49ers because of, you know, Joey Bosa, Warner, and, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think any of those guys are, at this point, expected to miss tomorrow's game, and they should be out there. And I do think that they're going to be relatively healthy. It really comes down to, is Jimmy Garoppolo going to play winning football? And I think, and again, maybe this is a little bit of, you know, my hopes, my personal hopes and dreams. I'll never hide behind, I would never pretend that I'm not biased in some situations. And in this case, I think
don't you want to see me happy?
No, John, I do not. Your happiness does not outweigh my happiness. And happiness to me would be watching Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
No,
yep. I want them all. I want every single Super Bowl. I want every single win. I want every single point that I make to be right in this business. And in which case,
you sound like Aaron Rodgers. Now.
Yes. Well, at least I'm not calling myself Title Town when I haven't won a championship in 11 years. So,
well, that's the team that calls it.
No, I know, but
it was 13 championships.
Yeah, right? I know. Yeah, oh, the 13 world championships. Okay, yeah, like half, more than half of those equate to essentially conference championships nowadays. But that's besides the point.
No.
I think I question in all seriousness. I do wonder if the pressure ends up getting to Rodgers, because that's not an invalid question, because he has at times, let the pressure get to him. I mean, it's a big moment. It's not easy to perform 100% all the time in these situations. Brady hasn't done it. He's just done it more often, you know?
Right.
I think the 49ers win this game. I think you're going to get a very physical, a very run-centric game from both teams. And ultimately, I think guys like Deebo Samuel are going to make the biggest difference on offense. And Fred Warner and Joey Bosa, I confuse the Bosa sometimes.
Nick
Bosa, thank you. I think I might have called him Joey earlier, but you're just going to have to... a Bosa. I'm just going to call him a Bosa, all right?
Mr. Bosa.
Mr. Bosa. You know, I just think they're going to make an impact. And again, a lot of it weighs ultimately on... They could do all that, and then Jimmy Garoppolo could throw a bad interception late, and it'll be all for naught. I don't think that's going to happen. You know what? I think they're not going to ask him to do a whole hell of a lot, especially because of the weather, and I think that's going to limit the number of mistakes he can make. So I'm going to take the 49ers in the upset. And speaking of upset, I know John will be upset Monday when it does happen. So,
well, I'll be upset Sunday if this happens. I won't wait till Monday to be upset. I'll be furious. I think the Packers, look, it's set up for them. They're fairly healthy. San Francisco is dealing with injuries. They got the bye week. They're at Lambeau. It's going to be 11 degrees, which should favor the Packers. Rodgers plays great in cold weather. Garoppolo, with whatever he's dealing with, the shoulder, a wrist, the thumb, I can't see him playing all that well. Although I give the guy credit. He's playing, and he's probably making himself a lot of money, right? I mean, if he can win this game, get to a conference championship, you know, he becomes a pretty impressive free agent target in the offseason. But I think Green Bay is set up to win this thing. I think their ability to run the ball will get them out in front, and that's the key. Is, you know, Garoppolo coming from behind is not necessarily a good thing, although he did come back from 17-0 against the Rams in the final game of the season. But I think the Rams kind of took the, you know, foot off the gas at that moment. But I like Green Bay in this game, and I think they win handily. 31-17, go Pack, go.
Yeah, hey, look, I mean, I admit, Jimmy Garoppolo's got to be perfect in this game. I mean, that's a whole hell of a lot to ask. And if he isn't perfect, you hope that that imperfect moment comes when the game's already, you know, pretty much over with. So yeah, I'm certainly risking a little bit here, but I will feel very good come Monday if I'm right. So, all right, moving to Sunday, we got the actual the real games of the weekend. The first two games are going to be fine, and I think they'll be entertaining. But obviously, you talk about first at 3:00, you have the Buccaneers hosting the Rams in a rematch. Again, another rematch this weekend, and there's a lot of things to be concerned about. We talked about it, you know, at a good amount yesterday, but if Tristan Wirfs is in there, I think they'll be fine. If he's not, that could be an issue, but at the end of the day, I you know, just like Rodgers, you know, any offensive line you trot out there in front of these two quarterbacks, they're going to be better than what they should be because of these two quarterbacks. And I think the Patriots, I almost did it. The Buccaneers will have enough between what they have on the offensive line, and you know, I think one of the most important players in this game specifically is Rob Gronkowski, not only offensively, but I mean, his ability to play elite level blocking, you know, block at a very high elite level. And I'm not talking a tight end elite. I'm talking like offensive lineman elite level, can play a huge difference in this game and certainly delay whatever sort of pressure the Rams try to get on him. So despite the injuries, despite everything else, I've never bet against Brady in my life, and I'm not going to start now. I think the Buccaneers win this game. It's going to be close. It's going to be close, and it might come down to the last minute, but Buccaneers win in advance to the conference championship.
I just think those injuries along the offensive line would be so difficult. Not only is it Tristan Wirfs, the right tackle, it's also Ryan Jensen, the center. Now, they're both going to play because they're football players, right? But how effective are they going to be? Aaron Donald, Von Miller, they can cause a lot of problems along that offensive line. Jalen Ramsey is a corner that can take Mike Evans out. So now, as much as you want to see Gronk help with blocking, because he's sensational at it, and you can also maybe line him up next to Wirfs to kind of chip the end on that side, now you're taking him away from the passing game. And I think he may be the number one option for Brady in the passing game, which we've seen for decades worked out pretty good, right? I mean, they've only won, you know, four Super Bowls together. I don't like ever picking against Tom Brady. I just think, look, this would be monumental if he wins this game, considering the injuries with the offensive line. Chris Godwin's out. Evans is less than 100%. Do we even know if Leonard Fournette's going to play? The Rams are flying into this game, you know, with a lot of confidence. I'm going to pick the Rams 27-24, but, you know, I do that very deliberately because of number 12, who's going to be wearing whatever pewter and gray or whatever the hell the color of their uniforms are. He's the guy that he's kind of hovering over this weekend, right? Like, even still, is like, okay, there's a lot of interesting stories, but can this guy do it again?
Yeah.
Like, you know, lead his team that's banged up and playing Italian, you know, can he do it again? And I generally would say, yeah, why not? I've seen it a lot. So,
you know
but I just think it's going to be a tough one.
You know, it would be a damn shame if we're both right. We're just going to come in here on Monday and just not say
a word. Oh, yeah, it's going to be San Francisco Rams part three. We're going to be like, really? I know, yeah. Don't do a show Monday.
We might take the week off. We'll come back after the Super Bowl, okay?
I mean, as a Patriots fan, you can't really win with Allen Mahomes, right?
No. Well,
you know, you don't want to see Buffalo start to feel good about itself, and Mahomes is, you know, the guy you want to make sure.
Let's put it this way, because this is a nice segue to close, because we got one more game to talk about. And so far, we've disagreed on two of the three, which is nice, because then that means one of us is going to have bragging rights, at least in one situation. But the final game of the night, Buffalo at Kansas City. I'll put it this way. I could never root for Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
What I can do, however, is root against Kansas City. Exclusive of who the opponent is, you know, completely, you know, non-attached to that. But in this game, though, and this is not necessarily with any sort of rooting interest in mind or any sort of bias or whatever, I just think Buffalo's playing better football right now.
Mm-hmm.
They have a better defense. I think their offense is certainly on par, if not better, than Kansas City's right now, and at least more consistent or balanced, let's put it that way. And look, I mean, we said it yesterday. You can make an argument that Josh Allen, at his best, is playing the quarterback position better than Patrick mm-hmm. Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes has his moments, and we talked about it yesterday. I think he's more I don't want to say dependent, because that implies that, you know, he's lacking ability. That's not the case at all. I'm just saying that his production is he creates less of the production than I think Josh Allen does. I think that's the best way to put it. Like, I think Josh mm-hmm. Allen has evolved to be, I mean, really a great quarterback this year. He's done it 2 years in a row. We've seen him be able to make more consistent, better decisions. He has his moments of inaccuracy, but I think for the most part, he's been very accurate. Whereas mm-hmm. I still think Mahomes he's accurate, sure, but I still don't know if I trust him in those, like, you know what I mean, really tight throw window type things, you know, need to make it type thing. I don't know. I haven't necessarily built that confidence up yet. So, I don't know. Maybe this is an upset, maybe it's not, but I'm going to take Buffalo in this game, and I do think it's... I think all these games are going to be relatively close, or at least I'm hoping they're close, which means, you know, there'll actually be some intrigue towards the end of these games as opposed to some of these others, but I do like Buffalo in this one to win this game in advance back to the AFC Championship game and take on those Titans, those Tennessee Titans, the AFC Championship game we all predicted at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, Buffalo Titans, that'd be an interesting matchup. I like Buffalo in this game as well. The line went from Kansas City 3 to Kansas City 1.5, so all the money's on Buffalo, which kind of scares me a little bit because generally, you know, Vegas does a pretty good job of making money, and most people that gamble, or, you know, at least 55% of them are wrong most of the time. But I like Buffalo in this matchup. I think they've pointed to this game. They've built their team for this game. They handled Kansas City in Kansas City earlier in the season. Now both teams are different than they were at that point. But I think you're right with Josh Allen. I mean, we know how important Brady is to Tampa and how important Rodgers is to Green Bay. But Buffalo is the most quarterback-centric team in the league in a sense that he's also their running game. Like, you know, and we know those off-script plays that he can make, you know, 26-yard run, which just – when a quarterback does that, that really kind of sinks the defense, doesn't it? Because you've done everything right defensively, and then this 6'5", 240-pound guy just – steamrolls you for a 26-yard game. He did that early in that Patriots game. That's almost like, that to me is much more debilitating to a defense than a 26-yard completion. Well, like every guy in the league can make that, right?
But how many guys are gonna when he runs
fly down the field?
When he runs, it's deliberate and it's decisive. So like, you know, we see scrambling quarterbacks, you know, run backwards, run around, and then something opens up and they take advantage of it. Josh Allen will sit there, read, decide, like, oh, okay, this is, they're playing man coverage. Everyone in the middle of the field is occupied. Well, guess what?
Yep.
Boom. Right down the middle of the field. Very decisive. And that's what's really impressed me with him this year, is just his growth in terms of decision making. So,
yeah, I mean, he's a house. He's 6'5", 240. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, 20 years ago would have probably been a tight end. I mean, he's not much smaller than like Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
And he's out there with that incredible athletic ability. He's almost as if, you know, I like to make quarterback comparisons. He's got a little bit of John Elway in him. He's got a little bit of Cam Newton too, as a runner, like a big, strong guy that you're like, do you really want to tackle this guy when it's 18 degrees out and you're trailing?
Can you tackle this guy when it's 18 degrees out?
If you want to. Yeah. But he's a big dude. And look, I like the way he's carried himself off the field. I like the player a lot. I mean, yeah. He still makes throws that you go, what was he thinking there? But, you know, they've coached a lot of that out of him. And I do like Buffalo in this game. I think they're playing better than Kansas City. You're right. I mean, Kansas City, look, Pittsburgh was a layup last week, and so were the Patriots for Buffalo. So how much can we get out of those two games? But even down the stretch, I mean,
yeah, I think we can easily say that the Bills' victory over the Patriots was far more impressive because I think we all believe, like I said, the result of the Patriots game was unfortunate, but I think we all believe they were certainly a deserving playoff team. It's just unfortunate that,
more than Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, far more than, I mean Pittsburgh, yeah. I mean, just, again, backed in, so.
I don't think Roethlisberger wanted to get in. I mean, his reaction when they got in was like, oh, I got to play another game. That's kind of like the feeling I got. It would have been so much better if the Chargers had got in, or even the Colts, as a Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, but
Pittsburgh
even
was like,
even
what
then,
are they doing there?
Even then, I don't necessarily, I'm fine with the Chargers not getting in because I don't want to reward Brandon Staley for poor coaching because, I mean, he cost his team plenty to not get in. So, all right, so there we go. We got our picks in. We differ on a couple of them, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Ironically, they're the ones that involve the quarterbacks we talk about the most. So either one or both of us will be either very happy or very sad come Monday if we were right or wrong. We'll have to figure that out. Maybe we're both wrong and we get exactly what we are kind of have been expecting. So everyone, enjoy Saturday's games, enjoy Sunday's games. We'll be looking forward to being here with you on Monday to break it all down and give our reaction. Sad or indifferent, doesn't matter. Happy, sad, indifferent. We will be here and we will be talking about it. So give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live, at Full Press Radio. Be sure to tune in tomorrow and Sunday morning, 11:30 on tomorrow, and then probably the same time or 10 a.m. on Sunday. Just keep an eye out for our FPC NFL Sunday pregame show. We're going to be talking about that. So have a great day, everyone. Have a great Friday. Be safe. Be happy. We'll talk to you on Monday.